Welcome to Opening the Door Podcast. Join me as we unlock the door to our psychic, intuitive, and mediumship abilities. Come along as we explore how to get in touch with our intuition, expand our mediumship, and open plenty of other doors to every aspect of spirituality, consciousness, and magic along the way. Hey, Keyholders, and welcome to another episode of Opening the Door Podcast. I am so glad that you're here. I have had a big uptick in listeners and subscribers lately, so if this is one of your first few episodes that you're listening to, welcome. I am so, so glad to have you. Today, you will hear a conversation that I had with Emily. You will have first heard Emily on episode 30. If you are just joining us within the last few months of the podcast and you haven't scrolled on back to listen to the backlog, I highly recommend this episode. It is the Being Self Psychic episode with Emily. And this time Emily is back to talk to us about working with earth energy. I thought this would just be a really fun episode for spring since we're all hopefully getting outside a little bit more now that the weather is warm. This episode has practical tips for working with earth energy, but also lots and lots of stories from Emily and I along the way, and lots of philosophical thought as well. So it's a really good mix of all of those things, and I hope you enjoy it. Enjoy the episode, and remember, don't be afraid to open your door. Today, we're welcoming Emily back to Opening the Door Podcast. Emily is a person who has prioritized healing in all its forms and has recognized and remembered some fraction of individual power, peace, and purpose to their earth life while in the nutrient-dense soil of shadow or in the light of life intelligence. Emily, welcome back to Opening the Door. So Emily, for anybody, so there's been a lot of people lately who have stepped into Opening the Door Podcast later in time. And so if you have not heard from Emily before, she was in a pretty early episode called Being Self-Psychic. And that is, I just love that episode because we talk about a lot of different things in that episode. But we also talk about the idea of being self-psychic, like just being within your intuition without reading other people professionally and all that good stuff. So if you are interested in learning about or leaning into that type of thing and hearing the wisdom that Emily shared on that episode, I encourage you to just scroll back and find that and start there. If not, you'll hear from Emily for the first time, and that will be fun too. So I don't know, I kind of want to talk about working with earth energy, gardening, which was touched on briefly, I think, in the first episode that we did. Mm-hmm. But I kind of want to, if somebody's really interested in working with earth energy, especially as we're within the spring season now, like how mm-hmm. can we do that? Like all that good stuff. So I guess first, can you describe what working with earth energy mm-hmm. feels like to you mm-hmm. and means to you?
Earth energy is, I mean, it's everything. Everything that is existing is part of earth energy. You are earth energy. You are biology made up of the same things as the earth. So it's actually kind of a remembering is what it feels more like to me when I'm able to connect to earth energy and more specifically like channel any message from earth to myself. I would say it feels super sacred. It feels immensely loving. It feels fearless. It feels patient. Mm. And so, yes, supportive and, I mean, grounding, obviously. It feels cliche to say the word. But so, you know, I think a lot of people struggle with the idea of, you could say, divine feminine for the same type of energy. The idea of the being rather than the doing. So not the action, you know. Some ways you can think about earth energy or feminine energy, they're so similar. I would say would be that, you know, feminine energy, earth energy, is the form and the being. And then it's the creation of the form and the destruction of the form as well. And what I think of as masculine energy actually is more of like, it's like the observing and the doing all the things in order to protect this, or not protect, I don't like that word, support it. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, I think that's so cool. And it just brings up some, like, so the first thought I have, there's actually a few. So I, for some reason, it makes so much sense when you say it, but I have never really thought about myself or like my this mm-hmm. body that I'm in as earth energy. Mm-hmm. And when you say it, it's like almost like a remembrance. It's like, oh yeah, like, of course.
Oh yeah. Like, I've said this before, so I mean, I don't know if anyone will have heard me talk before at other places or things, but the planets are rotating, orbiting, tilting, that, you know, we have all these cycles, and a massive planet like the Earth or a celestial body like the moon, the moon's orbiting around us and controlling the waters, and we're on this planet. And what is making the Earth spin? Like, have you ever stopped and thought, like, how is the Earth just spinning in perfect time? What's doing that? I'll tell you, it's the same thing that's making your heart beat. You know, it's the same. You are that life force. So you are just reconnecting back into this enormous, beautiful, powerful life force that we have under our feet at all times. That is actually, it is allowing us to be a part of its experience, is what I would say, and how lucky we are. And so the more we connect with her, the more empowered we become.
Wow. I feel so emotional just hearing you talk. Like, that's so crazy. Oh, I feel like that just brings in so much connection. You know, like, for context, we're sitting in my back room where I record all episodes, but we're doing this in person, which is really fun. Mm-hmm. And we're holding our cups of tea and we're burning a beeswax candle. And like, at this, like, if I were just to look around me right this second, I would ask, like, am I really connected to the earth? Like, do I feel in this moment connected to the earth? And probably the general answer is like, no. Or like when I'm sitting in my office doing work, and do I feel connected to the earth? Like, I feel almost taken out of it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like just hearing your words makes me feel connected. Like, mm-hmm. even in this moment when I might, like, in my logical mind feel like not really, but like hearing you say that, mm-hmm. I don't know, it feels like voicing it even just brings the connection yes. in, which mm-hmm. is so cool. So another question that I had that popped up as you were talking was drawing the connection, the general connection between like that earth energy and feminine, divine feminine, mm-hmm. which feel really similar to you. And so I'm wondering if we look at earth energy as the divine feminine, and correct me if I'm kind of looking at mm-hmm. that incorrectly, but like, what would you then give the divine masculine as its form? If we're looking at earth energy mm-hmm. as the form of the divine feminine, like, what would divine masculine's form be? Just because
really
I'm curious.
Beautiful. I think that they call it the first story ever told. And Caro Shaman from Peru would tell you that we all know this story. If we actually stopped and thought about it for a while, we would all remember it. But it's a really beautiful idea of the masculine and feminine, that human beings were created, they say, when the sun dropped a tear of gold into the center of the earth. So the earth is the feminine birthing all of us, right? And the sun, out of joy and love for the earth, shares this gold drop, you know, and it fertilizes everything, you know? Mm. So if you want to think about it that way, that sun, yeah. I would say.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very nice. Love it. Mm-hmm. So obviously you have a strong connection with your connection with earth energy. Can you talk a little bit about how you began to cultivate that mm-hmm. for yourself?
I think everyone has the same feeling when you start talking about, whether you call it yin, divine feminine, sacred mother, the earth, it feels all so murky, right? And everyone's like, well, okay, it's beautiful. I think we all love talking about it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's beautiful to think about. We just sort of are like, and I felt that way too, I don't know, a year or two ago. And You know, I think it started with the idea of shadow work. And for some reason, when I thought of shadow, feminine, yin, it felt like, okay. And so it actually was like a beautiful serendipity that as I started shadow work, I felt drawn. I mean, I've always been drawn to the earth. I've always spent tons of time in the garden, in nature, whatever. But that sort of, I remember the first time I sort of thought, okay, what is it? Okay, as a side note, I'm obsessed with like my own authority. So I really was like, I don't want anyone to tell me how to do this. Like, it's kind of like when I'm learning a computer program for me. It's like, you can tell me a million times, but until I do it and make the mistake and then do it again, that's how I know it. And then I know it. You know what I mean? So I felt for some other, you know, serendipitous reason, I would say, I also felt very determined that it was going to be me figuring it out because, you know, probably people listen to your podcast and you, like, we read lots of books about this kind of stuff. And it's like, at some point, I just, like, I don't want to see any more posts about it. I don't want to read any more books about it. I want to fucking do the damn thing.
Yeah.
So I started out meditating, thinking about shadow work and finding my shadow self, which felt like, which I now feel is not anything to do with femininity or masculinity anymore. But this is what led. So, and in those meditations, I would see, you know, I would be thinking about the earth, just thinking about it. I'd be picturing it. And I would imagine myself diving into a, like a bank, a hillside, into the dirt. And it was like so easy to get in there. And then once I was in there, it was so nice. It was quiet. It was warm. It was still. It was like a womb, you know, not to be cliche. But, and then it was like, all of a sudden I started getting little communications. And I know, I mean, I know how this sounds, but it was like,
you're on Opening the Door podcast. Yeah. We all know how it sounds. Like, it's fine.
I was like meditating on the stuff and it was like a lot of stuff was coming up. And then I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if this is what I'm meant to be doing. And then I remember in a meditation, I just started seeing bones and I knew very clearly, like, if you're finding bones, the work you're doing is the right path. And I happened to be in Maine and then I went for a walk with my kids and my husband's cousins, and it was a big group of people, and I found a fox jawbone and I found a deer femur bone, and then we went to the beach and I found like a bird bone, like a tiny little, you know, it was just like, okay, all right. You know, and then I still find bones all the time and they're like a big connection for me to the earth as well. And then from there it was like really just trusting myself, and I think what people should remember is that, like, your willingness is the biggest thing. Mm. So you set that intention that you want to, and you bring in a little self-discipline, and you let your imagination run, and it just, for me, it just happened. You know, I know that, like, everybody has different areas that they more easily connect, but for me, this was just, like, it felt very fast once I decided I was going to do this.
Very cool. Okay, first of all, I just love that your story is such a good example of how receiving signs can be so helpful, mm-hmm. and being told like how to receive them basically. So being like, okay, I'm in a meditation, I'm asking the question, even if it's maybe coming from ego, like maybe that just popped up in your meditation when you didn't mean to ask it, but like, mm-hmm. am I doing this? Like, should I be doing this?
That was a definite, like, longing question. It's like, am I doing this right? Is this what I'm meant to be doing? Because I was giving it a lot of energy.
Yeah.
You know?
And I just love how spirit, the universe, like earth energy answered you, mm-hmm. and was like, okay, if you see this, and then it delivered. I just mm-hmm. think that is so awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, what a great example of how energy is able to communicate.
Yeah, and what interesting point that I would say, that since you're saying that, it's making me realize, like, for me, the energy of the earth and any communication I have with the earth is, I don't know how to say, but it's like way less language based. I feel like it's a new, I don't even like the word language, but I don't know what other word to use, but like the information coming is, it's not language-based, and so I then have to learn this new way, and then it, like, filters through me, and I have to translate it in some ways, like, not without language as my, like, without my own language, too, which is, like, even more complicated, not complicated, but, like, I'm, it really is, like, a remembering of a languageless union with something.
Mm. Cool. you garden a lot. Mm-hmm. You have a really, dare I say, prolific garden. Mm-hmm. You have a garden that like creates a lot for you.
Yes.
And grows a lot, and you've cultivated that. And I guess, do you feel like you can read earth energy in terms of like areas of your garden or your yard, or do you feel like you can like, do you feel like those plants, like sweet potatoes or celery, like whatever you're growing, mm-hmm. do you feel there's any sort of communication between you and the plants within your own garden or yard?
Absolutely. 100%. And so I'll start like more simply, the property that I am like lucky enough to own was my parents. And so I grew up on this property, and I, from a young child, played outside. It's a beautiful, I love it. It's a small house, but it's a big yard, which is what I love. And big trees and just like being out there. I mean, and I have really beautiful times where even the plants and trees and bushes that are no longer there, I can hear them. They're like my elders, and that's what they've told me is, you know, hey, we're here to help you. There's a reason you're on this land. Like, there's a very specific draw for me to that land. But gardening plants, that's like more integrated communication. Like, what I understand is that like they choose me. I don't choose them. So I grow sweet potatoes because they chose me. I grow lemon verbenum because it chose me. And it's a very, very seamless communication that way. It's just like, oh, I'm going to grow this. And then as I grow it, I understand why I'm growing it, you know, but mm-hmm. it's like, it's not my idea. Like I can't take credit for the stuff I grow and why it grows well.
Cool. Cool. Do you feel like there's, first of all, I want to mention on my drive home today, I saw a fox. And it's so funny because I like was driving home and I saw one. I love seeing foxes. I'm just like, oh, I don't know. They just feel so special and cool to see. If I see a raccoon, I'm running scared. But if I see a fox, I'm happy. Yeah. But
poor raccoon.
I know. I'm just so scared of them. I don't know what it's about.
Because they're not afraid of anything.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. They're really not.
Like if you come out and walk onto your porch and they're there, they're just like, oh,
hey. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Yeah. I have a raccoon story and then I'll maybe get back on track. But I lived in like a house in college, like a duplex house with a few other people. And I was coming home from an afternoon class on the phone with my mom and we were talking. And I went around the side of the house that I don't really ever go around for some reason. I don't know why. I stepped around that side and I started walking on the little sidewalk beside the house. And then a raccoon just rounded the corner of the other house. It was so big. And this was during the day. It was like 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. And we just like
That's
locked
when you
eyes.
Don't want to see
him. Yeah. We locked eyes. And I was like, bah! And then I like ran inside and like got so scared. And so that's my one actually. But like baby raccoons are very cute. But I'm really off topic now. So
I have a raccoon story I could tell.
Okay, tell the raccoon story.
I have like a full glass door looking out onto the patio and I saw a raccoon out there and we had outdoor fish in our little pond at the time. And it was batting around this bungee corded bucket that had the fish food in it, trying to figure out how to get it out. And it was pretty close to the door. And I banged on the door and it just like stopped for half a second and looked at me and then like went right back to what I was doing. So then I like opened the door like all the way and it just like sort of looks at me and it's like, and then it just goes back. And I was like, all right, I'm going to step out there. Like I'm going to charge this thing. And I step out. It still didn't care.
Whoa.
So I was like, I'm just going back inside.
Yeah, I guess you get the fish food.
You get the food, you win.
So I saw a fox and I didn't even, like, I kind of was like, I didn't even think like, oh yeah, I'm seeing Emily tonight because I think like foxes and you,
oh,
like I really
yes.
think of you. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like I kind of want to talk about the archetypes of nature because mm-hmm. I think there's that overarching earth energy archetype. And
yes.
then I feel like within there's a mm-hmm. lot of different ones. So mm-hmm. I think there's a few
very different.
Yeah, mm-hmm. a few directions that we could go. But
power animals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like power animals, like archetypes of the divine feminine that you've either worked with or experienced. What animal archetypes are some of your favorites or like what might people sort of be seeing in their life that they can draw aligns to?
So I would say finding your power animals, you can probably look up meditations for finding your power animals, or you can do it yourself. But I think power animals are they choose you. And then once you know your power animal, you learn a little bit about them, right? Like start thinking about them, start trying to communicate with them, not like sitting and trying to talk to a fox. But in a meditation, you know, I will draw a line down the center of a piece of paper, and one side is going to be fox and one side is me, you know, and I write some blah, 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 and then I write what fox has to say.
Mm.
And your power animals will be coming to you because they represent energies that you need in your life that are supportive, that can be destructive, or there to remind you of something. So they're really like your, like people have plant allies, but like these animals can be your allies too. And then if you're very connected, for me, it's like, I do see them more, you know, the fox is a great example. Cause I remember I was like really feeling wolf, but I was like, I think it's a fox, but a wolf would be really cool. And I did a meditation and I had those both in my mind. And of course it was fox. And then at the end of the meditation, I was like, well, maybe it's a wolf. And then I sat up and I opened my eyes, and right across from my living room into my dining room is this huge painting of a fox that I did like 10 years ago. And I was like, okay. And then ever since that, it's just been really beautiful. Like I had one, you know, sometimes what I would also say about animal, earth, plant, all those energies, it's really hard for humans to do, but it's that not narrating your experience, not trying to remember how you're going to explain to somebody, but like really just feeling your body and feeling things come and go and not saying, what is that I'm feeling? Just trusting on some level that stuff is happening and that it will make sense later. And you don't have to know. Like a rational mind is kind of the opposite of all of the stuff that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But it just wants to come in all the time. And so I remember I was meditating one time and I was in a place where you can feel, maybe some people that are listening will know this, but like, and here I am narrating. You can feel the plants all around you. You can feel their leaves. You're not touching them. You know what I mean? Like, but you feel and you sense all these things around you and you start breathing with all of them and you're just, ooh. And I was doing that. It was the briefest of moments that I was able to hold that, right? And then all of a sudden I hear a little bit next to me, and the distance that we are to occupy towards this, I look over and there's a fox and it's like walking by, and it literally was like, kind of like, what the fuck are you doing here? No. But it was like so close and it didn't run away from me. It just sort of kept moving at its own pace. And So the thing about when you can get in tune with the deepness of earth energy and that connection to all things is animals will not be afraid of you, because animals can sense all kinds of fear, but when you are energetically, your physical body is being allowed to be in the complete flow of everything around you, animals they can sense that.
Mm.
And I've had that many times where squirrels and other things will come very close to me because I'm not trying to do anything.
Mm.
I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah. Can you describe fox energy as a power animal?
For me,
yeah,
fox energy is, there's some playfulness about it. And what fox energy does for me is it eases my connections to other things I have difficulty with. So if I have something I don't want to deal with or something big happens, fox is like almost like a snake running in between things, being like, hey, we're fine. We can do this. And like almost bringing a little bit of lightness to everything and just reminding me to be like, be a little lighter. Don't take it so seriously. You know what I mean? Be a little smarter about trying to be so smart.
Mm. Yeah. One of my favorite confirmations of your working with fox was doing a reading for you and connecting. I think it was a reading for your higher
yes.
self.
Uh-huh.
And I was walking through the woods with your higher self, or your higher self was showing me through the woods. And there was just a fox like kind of doing what you're describing, like just dashing between trees and around this path. And I don't know, I just thought that was like the coolest confirmation and like fucking great proof of real work that you can connect in with like somebody's energy. So I just wanted to mention that too, because I just thought that was so
It was huge cool. confirmation for me with Fox too. Yeah, so so it's like a Fox is like the weaving loom kind of, like it's pulling everything together and fearless. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yep. I had a meditation. Do you think power animals, can they change over time?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I had a meditation. I was doing a guided, like a workshop, and we were doing some sort of journeying. And, you know, she prompted us to allow a power animal or our power animal to come along. And she was like, if you don't have one, just invite and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I think I've told you this before, but I was like, it better not be a big cat. I am going to be annoyed if it's a big, like, I don't.
That's your sign right there that it is.
Right. Exactly. Cat. I'm like, I feel like I don't want it to be a big cat. Mm. I'm just not a big cat type of girly, like, no. And then it was like a white tiger. Mm. And I was like, okay. Sorry. And it was so playful and I almost had fear of it. I feel like, you know, like that sort of. I don't want to say it's out of control energy, but it's a different, maybe that's why I didn't want it, because it's such a different energy than I'm used to working with or something.
Have like, you, what is your experience with it now?
She comes up a lot when I journey.
Okay.
And I haven't done a lot of journeying lately, but I do invite her when I do meditative journeys.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like this playfulness that it's like on the edge of, is this playful? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's like, ooh, there's an edge to this where her paw will come up on my arm. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I feel like I can play a little bit rougher with her, but there's that, like, there's that line or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I would say I haven't worked with that energy for months, but it's been a really interesting journey of, like, I don't want this. And then it that's what it was, you know?
Yeah. Big cat energy. Whatever they are, tigers, lions, jaguars, pumas, you know, mountain lions, they're generally associated with death, meaning death and renewal, like, you know, life consumes itself for more life and there's nothing to actually fear. So they're also, they're associated with water and emotion and seeing through emotions to greater purpose. So tracking, if you think of like when you say you take it journeying with you, like they're tracking, you know, they're tracking through the emotion to the purpose of the thing. And, you know, they will track for you and find what you are looking for, or they'll track for you and uncover certain things. And so big cat energies, I have definitely work with jaguar. Yeah. And I will bring up jaguar when I am tracking something.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, I honestly, like, I guess I didn't even look into it. I was just like, okay, this is what it is. Fascinating. So I don't know. Is there anything else we're missing on power animals? Like, how can, like you said, there's meditations where you can find it. Is there any, I don't know, like, ways that, or tips that you have about working with animal earth energy?
I really recommend that journaling prompt. If you have established a power animal for yourself, I would really try that journaling with them. You know, because if you feel confused about why would I even have a power animal? What are they even doing? And why would I have this one? You know, just ask. Yeah. You know, I'm all about like you, everything you need to know is in you. And you just have to let go, and you have to have the willingness to let go and trust yourself a little bit, that you can let the knowledge come through because it's there.
I completely agree. I feel like one of the biggest things over the past few years within my journey, especially when I feel like my life journey, I mean, not just like with my psychic and mediumship work, but like whenever I feel like I just need a reading, I need a psychic reading, I need a mediumship reading, like I need something, I need a tarot reading. And there's this thing that's like, do you? And like, I'm saying that as somebody who offers readings. And I think there is an absolute time and place to get things confirmed to you, to communicate with your loved ones and to like affirm. I really think readings should really just be like affirming, confirming, and like giving you a mirror to what you already know. I don't know that readings should be like full of surprises, honestly.
Yeah.
Sometimes. But yeah, I think there's this huge thing where I've really just felt like, okay, I actually do know if I can like look hard enough and relax and like be in my own self.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'll repeat that I'm saying that as somebody who gives readings, and I do believe that there's amazing times and places for readings. But when you are feeling like you need to book like three different types of readings, maybe there's a pause there that we can take.
It's so interesting. I think everyone can relate to that feeling. Like you just want someone to tell you.
Yes. Yes.
Because we spend so much time inside our heads trying to work it out. And this is, I think what you're saying ties back to earth energy, because it is like one of the most healing, comforting, loving energies. It's, you know, sometimes if you still have a mother, you know, you can imagine like, oh, I don't know. Sometimes what I do, I mean, this can't happen for me anymore, but there's just those days or times where it's like, I just want to crawl in bed with my mom and have her rub my head. Like, we just want that solace and that comfort. And we just can't believe that we can bring it to ourselves. But the reality is that we can, and it's much more effective when we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think connecting with the earth is a huge, huge part of receiving that ability.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the earth is going to come and comfort you, but it's like receiving the ability to comfort yourself, you know.
Yeah.
And I agree with you, readings, I get readings from you, and they're wonderful and they're joyful for me, and I think they have so much serendipity in them that you can learn from. So it's just, again, like not giving your authority away. If someone gives you a reading, you know, you're receiving that information, and how you take it inside and interpret it is much more important than what's actually being said.
So true. So true. So how? Like, that is the question I feel bubbling up. I think that as people are listening to this, it's going to feel really inspiring and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about like plant allies and power animals and like this amazing earth energy that you described right at the beginning, like all those amazing adjectives. And you kind of described the beginning of your journey. But like, what are some tips for people who really, like I said, like we're sitting here in this room, like in this moment, maybe they're not feeling so
mm-hmm.
connected to
mm-hmm.
the earth. Like what are some first steps that they can take to just like be in this essence?
So I would say if you do a little bit of breath work, you know, sit with your feet on the ground and do any kind of breath work you want, but make sure your out breath is like almost two times as long as your in breath. And you're going to just do that for a while. And probably within 2 minutes, you might start to feel your heartbeat, right? Because it just works that way. And once you start feeling your heartbeat, if you can just sort of start moving like micro movements of your body in that rhythm. And then you hear your breath. This is the same energy as the earth. You start feeling it. Start feeling at home there. You know, you could tap. If you have a drum, you could drum. Or you can just tap your foot to your heartbeat. And just sort of start imagining that blood pulsing down through all the veins and blood vessels through your body. And come into that place and rest in that place. This is the sound of life force energy, right?
Yeah.
It's like the voice of your mother when you're in the womb. And just allow yourself to sort of bathe in that for a while. Sometimes if you're in a really hot bath, you can sometimes put your ears under the water and hear your heartbeat, you know?
It's so crazy because like, as you were describing that again, I was like, oh yeah, I am earth energy.
Mm-hmm.
Like I almost, we've been talking for like 30 something minutes. I almost already forgot. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh.
It's so easy.
It's so easy to forget. And I think that's like, maybe that's just such a perfect illustration of how it's so easy to forget.
But that's what I would just say, that earth energy, or that as close as the beating of your heart, it's always there. It's always with you. It's always happening. It's just tap into it, you know?
Yeah. Are there any tools that you like to use, like outside of your own energy, that help you connect in?
Sometimes crystals, sometimes, but actually more often rocks. Rocks are huge for me, like rocks that I find while gardening, rocks that I find. You know, it's the same as noticing signs for me. Like all of a sudden I'll just like see that rock down there and it looks really pretty and I know I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to carry it home, you know? And so I have rocks all over my house and I put them out like decorations and altars, and I love them, you know? So if you find a rock, bring it home and hold it while you meditate. And I think a big part, because this is a reciprocal relationship, that we are biology and so is a rock. A rock has tons of knowledge, and breathing onto that rock with everything you're longing for, the rock can hold it. Like, it's such a dense energy. It can hold and transmute things that plants can't, you know, and, you know, it can become your little like ally or little, what do they call that? Like a forgetting what I would call that. Like a, I don't know, power or something.
Power rock.
Yeah. Or like a,
Power earth. Like your, yeah, I feel like I know what you're, yeah. Like,
it's not coming to me.
Yeah.
Like a talisman or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like maybe like we talked about power animals and stuff like that. Are there any other different like archetypes within earth energy that you feel like you've encountered or worked with that you really enjoyed?
Oh, well, I mean, trees, plants of all kinds have very different energies, and different types of trees have different energies. And I think trees might be, I don't know, but I for some reason suspect they might be a really easier one for people to communicate with, connect with. I just would make sure you touch it, you know. And trees are, unlike animals, trees are, they're here for very much similar reasons that we are. They're more like in line energetically and spiritually to a human than they are to an animal. So they are anchoring in energy into the planet. And we are too, but they're just much more evolved and clear on what energy they're anchoring into the planet.
So cool. I love talking to trees, and I really don't care how that sounds. We're on Opening the Door podcast, y'all. We can say that. I love, and I think I've mentioned it some other episodes, but I just absolutely love talking to trees. And when they're blooming, or just like telling them how gorgeous they are in the fall. I should do it more often in the winter, but I'll share the tree story that I shared with you, because I think it was such a earthy, powerful moment. I was driving in the fall, so months ago, and the trees were at like peak like color, and I was just like, oh my gosh, they're so pretty. And I was driving down this road where there's a lot of gorgeous trees, and I was looking at all of them, and I was like, you're so gorgeous, you look amazing, honey, like I love you so much. Thank you for bringing me all this joy. And then I just had this thought that was like, and I know that it's not, I want to preface this with saying, like, I know that it's not true. I know that trees know their cycles, right? As you said, like, they have that depth of knowledge of their own energetic and biological cycle. So, like, they know that they're dropping their leaves for a reason, all of that. But as I was looking, I was animating it, because I'm a human and we love to animate everything. Yeah. And I thought, like, what if this happens every year to these trees and they are just like, how is this happening to me again? How am I losing all of my leaves again? Why am I turning a different color? Like, all these questions. And, like, a few weeks later, that thought came back to me for my own self-growth. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm just, like, it helped me realize my own thought about trees. Weeks later helped me realize, like, oh, I'm just in the fall right now again. And I don't need to be wondering why is this happening to me again? I don't need to be afraid of what's going to happen next because I just know that I'm in the fall now.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that was such a cool way for like trees to help me.
To communicate to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, even at the time you thought you were communicating to them. This is what I mean, where it's like they choose, you know.
Yeah. So cool. So yeah, I hope that helps somebody.
That's something we haven't touched on, but is huge. Also, if you're connecting to the earth, is the cyclical nature of everything, and that trust in that, like, there's something bigger moving through and causing certain things, you know, like, so letting, again, like letting go and knowing, like, of course you're gonna have cycles, light and dark and cold and hot and fast and slow, and you know, the more that we can just recognize the cycle we're in, the more we can be at peace that we know that it is a cycle.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Nature, man. Do you think that this has been something that has been a recurring question for me, and then I keep forgetting to ask it, and now it's coming back. So do you think that Earth's energy has changed over time? Like, do you think, let's say, like, 3,000 years ago, mm-hmm. the Earth's energy, or like earth energy in general, felt different or was different?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it kind of has, not like a mind of its own, but like this cycle of its own in the way that it's evolving or changing?
I think that the earth has its own journey that it's seen through. Mm-hmm. And we're part of that journey. And I think what we as human beings don't recognize is that the earth, I think, changes its vibration. Its vibration can change, right? And we can feel that if we're very attuned to it changing. And as human beings, like I was talking about with trees, is that we collectively affect that mm-hmm. level. The earth isn't, it's not like the earth is at our mercy or anything, but we work in tandem with the earth. So as we are dropping into lower vibrations, that affects the vibrations of the whole planet. It doesn't affect the wisdom of the planet. It just affects its efficacy.
Right. Or like, it's kind of like you walk into a room and there's that one person who can really change the vibe for the worst.
Yes.
Yeah,
so we humans are changing the vibe.
We're changing the vibe and the earth doesn't
all
like
I'm
it.
Gonna say about it.
Well, if we can change it negatively, we can hopefully change it positively,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the earth is only ever responding in love is what I think. And I this might not be a popular opinion, but the earth is not going anywhere. I mean, I just, you know, want to maybe say that just to, like, comfort anyone. It's us that will be going somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. The earth,
she's fine.
We'll find a way.
She's 100%
yeah.
fine.
Yep.
And the other thing I'll share with you that, I mean, it feels really good to be able to just be completely open. The other messages I've received from trees and earth is, you know, when you look around and you see destruction of earth, while we are here for such a short period of time, what's understood by the trees and everything else is when they fall, they are giving birth to the opportunity of hundreds and hundreds of more species. So when a species dies, it is giving way, but that might not happen for 1,000 years, right? But the earth, what's that to her? You know, so the way we mourn for the earth, she doesn't mourn that way.
Mm.
That's what I would say.
Mm. Interesting.
She Very sees cool. through, way straight through to the way bigger. Oh, this is going to happen, and I know what is going to happen. You know, it's sort of like, it's kind of like a domino, like you set the domino and it yeah. goes, but there's a path. You know what I mean? It's not just all the dominoes fly off the table. It's already known what's going to occur.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does. And I feel like I'm drawing a connection to what you said working with earth energy feels like, which is mm-hmm. that like peace and knowing,
mm-hmm.
that calm, that like, yeah. I am unfazed by maybe things happening outside of me because I know, like I have this inner depth of knowing. Mm-hmm. So like you're kind of like just like pulling on that and mm-hmm. being able to like integrate it for yourself. So I don't know, anything that we missed that you really want to talk about earth-wise?
Just, yeah. I would so encourage everyone to do it. I know it seems murky, and I don't think that I've really answered how to do it because it hasn't been a narratable path. But, I mean, trees, just dirt. I mean, anything you can put your hands on. And again, I would just say that you have to have the willingness, and then you also have to have the ability to sort of drop all of the rational stuff that you... It's just really, this is a side topic, but I find it so fascinating that we as human beings can hear certain studies and then we're just like, oh, that's true now. And then we just like go back to our regularly scheduled program.
Yeah,
it's
Oh,
it's now proven, this is true, that when we hold water and meditate or breathe into it, we change its pH and we change its structure. What the fuck?
It's so cool.
Nobody's talking about this? Have you tried just holding some water and putting your prayers into it and drinking it? Because guess the fuck what? Your body is like 75% water.
It's so cool.
Like, how do we not start imagining? This is what I like. Mm. How do we not start imagining that we could cure ourselves of things if we can change the structure of the cells in our body through vibration and sound? And there's just so much to be fascinated. Like, just get fascinated with life. You know, yeah. Like get curious and get, there's just so many things like that. I mean, and now it's like, and grounding now has been basically proven by scientific study too. And it's like, okay, so the way I make time to go to the gym, I should be making time to put my feet on the ground for my health.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
It's just incredible that we just can kind of hear it and then we just kind of like turn our back to it is what I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, one of my favorite ways to work with water when I have a bathtub available to me is to stir my intentions into the water and speak them and then get in it, obviously, and then to like bathe in that intention.
Yes.
And then my other favorite way is making magic tea, which is just what I call it. I don't think I made it up. I brew a beautiful tea with like usually my herbal ally, which I'm still loving Tulsi as my herbal ally.
Such a good one.
Yeah. And I maybe put some honey in, maybe not. And I just stir my intentions and like my affirmations and my positive notions into that tea. And also what I love about that is I don't have to continually think about it. Mm-hmm. I know that this water is now imbued with my magic and like my intentions. And I don't have to every sip be like, I am happy. I am this, I am that, like, or whatever I'm trying to, like, help myself with that day or that week or that month. I just know that I have done that, you know? Mm-hmm. It's so cool. And I think you're right. Like, it's really also, if you're feeling skeptical about, like, being excited about things you hear or, like, things you learn, and if you're listening to this podcast, I really doubt that you are. You're probably somebody who is pretty excited to learn things and, like, excited about life. It's so fun to like be curious and imagine possibilities. Like I can't barely think of anything funner than to imagine possibilities, you know?
Yeah.
So I think when you know, there's like proven science around this stuff, it's like imagine like what we could do with that, you know? Like how far could we go in like a really cool way,
and
you know?
All the stuff we don't know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like it's just continually, you know, like so that's like that taking that step of letting go of your disbelief, you know what I mean? Like, and I love bringing up those kind of scientific studies because I like to say it to people that I talk to because it's just a little thing to say, hey, what else? You know, like, oh, if you can change the pH of water with your mind, what else do you think you can do?
Goosebumps, chills.
And that is the energy we should be anchoring here.
So cool. Is there any other tips, anything else that you want to share about connecting in with or working with earth energy?
I would just say we touched a little bit about what we talked about, being able to affect the structure of water. I just wanted to add that, you know, all humanity from wherever they're from, whether you're from England or Germany or anywhere, the Americas, there is a history of energy work, earth connection, shamanism all over the world and every ancestry that there is. It's not something unique to one
race or type of person or people, and it's something that the human race has known how to do. And if you can imagine when you connect to the earth, if you're outside or even inside and you're wanting to connect, if you want to call in that history of shamanism, whether it was a shaman from North America or South America or Scotland or Wales or Ireland, bringing that to mind, and then as the earth connects with you, knowing and trusting that all humanity has paved and made these roots in the ground, that you are just remembering. They're already there. Humanity has created them for you for that access, and you're going to fill into those root systems, and you'll have memories of things, and your body will start to remember before you do. And so trusting that some of that is going to take time, and that your body is reigniting ancient memories from these pathways. And I just, it's really my plug to say, like, don't think this is reserved for anybody. It's for everybody. And it has been lovingly and beautifully shared with me, and it's encouraged to be shared with everyone.
Love that. Yeah, I love the idea. Well, I don't just love the idea, because I love the fact that Earth, yeah, like working with the Earth is universal across every indigenous culture, like you mentioned, like across every indigenous culture across the world. So yeah, I love that. And like the remembering, or the workings might have been a little bit different, but like the core values or the core understandings, yeah, are all there. So that is really cool, beautiful, like universal human experience. So
yeah, shamans from Lapland, shamans from Asia, shamans from everywhere, India, you know, every culture has a history of them. And and what that should tell us just is that we all have access to this.
Yeah, beautiful. Did you want to share any of your poetry?
Yeah, I can read one. This is a really super recent and very emotional one for me that I loved so much that I want to share it. So this is meditating in where I consider my sort of strongest land energy from the earth is where I receive this. So this is what I heard from the earth. Every person's going to hear something different from the earth, just like the messages you receive are unique to you. So, as you sing the song of my heart, I sing the song of you. We become of one accord. From my greatest oak tree to my smallest pebble, I am infused wholeheartedly. In love immensely, my daughter, with you. So much as my greatest mountain am I in love with you, as I am with my smallest firefly. Know the breeze is my sweet embrace, as the hurricane is my deepest love. My depths know no depths, and my strength in destruction is my love of creation. For I forge anew, new landscape, and my love is eons long. And here you sit with me, all dichotomy and shame. Lift me up, child. I will lift you up to the depths and to the heights of me. For you too are eons long, and I have known you even longer, together, you and I. Our love story is never ending.
Chills. Oh, really, really, really beautiful. And like, I'm going to say so well put. I know you received that from the earth, but like, damn earth, you put that so well.
She's a poet.
She's a poet. Cool. Amazing. Beautiful. So if you're feeling inspired by this, Emily, do you want to, where can people reach out to you? Like, is there any way to work with you? What do you want to share in that regard?
Yeah, so I have a website, which I didn't before, called Our Authentic Self. And you can reach me through there. And I have Instagram, which is Guardian Growth. I have a Substack, which is Our Authentic Self. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Emily, thank you.
Oh, wait, I'll just say that I am going to be putting up some of the poems that I've received from the earth on my Substack in the next couple days.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. And I will link that all in the show notes for people to be able to find you and like read your stuff and be excited by possibility and hope and cool shit. I love it. Cool. Well, Emily, thank you so much again for coming on for a second time and just sharing your
calm, peaceful wisdom that feels so deep and special and really cool. So
it's my pleasure. And if anybody listening, yeah, I just would encourage you to reach out to me, because it's a passion of mine to sort of, I don't want to use the word help, but just, I don't know, talk to people about this stuff.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you love the podcast, don't forget to rate and leave a review wherever you listen. Follow me on Instagram at Opening the Door Podcast and visit my website, openingthedoorpodcast.com, to explore my reading offerings, digital downloads, and more. Plus, subscribe to my email list to be the first to know about OTD news and offerings.